And it's a wonderful thing that he is. He's always something good. He's always motivated to help mankind. And it's a blessing. The Lord, he can think about, he thinks in scenarios. I once said that the Lord, the Word of God gives us all a God's eye view. And when I said that, I was thinking more of a bird's eye view. Because the bird can see you, he can see what's in front of you, where you're going, or where you're headed. He can see what's behind you on the side, and God can too. But the advantage of God is he can see all of that, and he knows all the conversations of your enemies. And he can see through time. He can see how your heart is set to govern. And he knows that if you follow the path that you're on, how it will end. And he knows the conversations of others. And he knows what will happen if you continue on the path you're set on. And he knows that who to send, when to send people to say what needs to be said so that you can make better choices. And that's why it's so important for men of God to learn how to yield to the Holy Spirit. We can't do what he can do. We need him to operate. When he becomes our governor, when we make decisions based on the truth that he provides us with, when we operate ministry, when we minister to others according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we have an advantage that way. And when we stick to the format that he provides and we do the things that he's given us to do, it takes faith to do it because we can't see what he sees. We're in a position where we have to trust him. And some people are trying to get rich so that they don't have to trust God. They can just do their will and do whatever they have in mind to do. And most of the things they want to do is good. It's not that they're trying to do evil. They're trying to set themselves up to have a good life. And a lot of ministers think that if they just preach the format that they believed and that blessed them, it'll bless everybody, but it doesn't work that way. Why? Because people have a vast array of opinions that the enemy has bullied them into taking. The enemy sets us up to believe certain things, to see God a certain way, to see people a certain way. And our opinions are not fact-based. Most of our opinions, or many of our opinions, they're not factual. But the Word of God is factual, because God only deals with truth. The enemy is the one that uses camouflage and deception. And when the Lord hides, he hides his face from those who would lie, those who would whose heart is not set like his, because they will use information against the living, people that want to live. And he's done that. That's why the Word of God is written like a puzzle. The Lord gives information to those who hunger and thirst after what's right. And even with that, he knows that in our love, we'll talk too much. So whatever you teach, you have to be governed by the Holy Spirit. And I learned this. It was a unique way I learned it. The Lord would give me all kind of revelation and knowledge about following God, things that he wanted me to minister. And when people didn't have it in their heart to do that, and they were not trying to follow God, they put their own agendas on a higher platform, then the Lord would, when I'm in their presence, it's like he'll take all the information he gave me and put it in a suitcase. And I would try to remember it and couldn't even, all I could say was Father God, because that's all I could remember. And I used to wonder, how in the world did the devil do that? Because I said, I'm losing all my thoughts, and then when they gone, it all comes back. And that puzzled me for years. How in the world? I said, I need to pray more or something. But I found out it wasn't the enemy, it was the Holy Spirit responding to how they process. When people don't want God's word, or if they love their will too much, and you're trying to tell them how to follow God, and they're resisting it, they don't want to hear that. Because most of the ministers I knew, they knew what I would talk about. And they had their heart set to do things a certain way. And they weren't going to listen to me. And the Holy Spirit just wouldn't give me the unction to talk about it. And then it's like he put all that information and locked it away so I couldn't talk about it. And soon as I leave, or they leave, then all the revelation comes back. And I started realizing what was happening. Just not long ago. About last year, I figured it out. Because God gives grace to the humble. And he say all these things in plain sight. He resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And to the point that a person is proud, the Lord has to resist. He can't trust them with certain information until they have a heart to seek him. And if your heart's not set to know God in the first place, to surrender to his will, it's a lot of things you're not going to be able to learn and comprehend. Because the way we see him depends on what we learn and what we'll receive. If our heart is set to know God, and we want to know him, and our heart is gauged to set him at his word, take him at his word, and we want to know more and more, then the Lord will open the word up. Now, Paul said in 1 Corinthians that we are stewards of the mysteries of God. We're stewards. We don't handle the knowledge of God at our will. We do it according to the Holy Spirit. And I noticed also that the Holy Spirit, he governs the anointing. He governs the calling. The Lord said, Paul said that if a man desired to be a bishop, he desired a good office. But he ended that teaching saying, leave it up to the Holy Spirit. Because he thinks of all things. He knows where you're fit. He knows what calling fits your life, your design, what God gave you to do. And if you stick to what he say and be faithful, you'll operate in his strategy. The strategy of man won't work. Zechariah taught us once and for all that it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit. So in your ministry and in your life, the more you allow God to govern you, and you have to allow him, because the Holy Spirit won't hijack anything. He will guide you. He's like a gentle dove. And if you're proud, you'll run him off. You won't notice his presence. Now, he's always there if you believed on Jesus Christ, because he's in you. But he won't be active. Your love walk activates the Holy Spirit. The way you... If your eye is single, you activate the Holy Spirit. If you do what he say do, you activate the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit gives your pastor a message, and you take that message as if it came from God and obey it and do it, then you activate the Holy Spirit to provide you with the next step you need. And so on, until you finish the perfect will of God. You become a candidate to learn the next step. And as you continue in that process, doors will open up that God designed you to walk in, and you'll solve problems that he trained you for. Now, a lot of this was lost because of man's love for the world system. Based on, it was just like Saul again. When your love changes, everything, it affects everything. It affects the way you see things. It affects the way you judge. It affects the way you treat people. Love is just that important. And the love of God gives us a greater advantage. And with his knowledge, as his continual guidance, it keeps us in his advantage. We do things according to his strategy. We operate with his love. And he takes us far beyond the point of only concern. You won't just be concerned about people, but you'll have the answers. You'll have the deep-rooted answers of God in order to be a blessing to the people of God. With the love of God intact and your heart set to obey the Holy Spirit, you'll be more like David and less like King Saul. If you watch other people, you'll be more like Saul and less like King David. You know, when the Lord anointed David, he anointed the perfect man, a man that was after his own heart. And it became my confession that I will do all that's in his heart. I don't want anything left out of God's plan for my life. And I'm going to tell you about one of the hardest lessons that I learned as a man. And I'm a businessman. I work on cars for a living. And I know for a fact that a lot of mechanics rip people off. I've heard all kind of horror stories. I even heard that one guy, a lady brought her car in for a transmission and he fixed it, but she didn't come and pick her car up. And just so happened another car came in just like it, needing an engine. And this man sold the latest engine, put the bad engine in her car, and when she came and got it, he said, "Hey, you know your engine's knocking." I've heard about how people would go to, when they go get parts, they'll ask money for parts, and then they'll go buy a junkyard starter, and then they'll go by and get a Napa box to put it in, and they'll paint it black. I've heard all these horror stories, and I know people rip people off, and I will never be that guy. So, and I've always had a problem charging enough money. I wanted to help people. You know, when you study the Word of God and you see how Jesus went about doing good, it was hard for me to make the connection of being a businessman and a man of God. And this went on for years. I would charge too less, and it hurt me. And the Lord, and see, we don't do what's wise, we do what's in our heart. And the misinformation got in my heart about how to charge. And it was hard for me to make the correct judgment call to charge enough to live on. Because it's brutal work in the first place. But I didn't want to be the kind of person that overcharged or ripped people off. But I wasn't being wise in the process. So this was a continual problem the Lord had. You know, he taught me how to charge. And he took me at my own pace. And he taught me, he taught me the importance of a business. And that was a lady that she was pregnant and she needed help. And I said, "I'll fix the car." I said, if you get the parts and the machine shop work done, if you can pay for that, I'll help you with the labor. Now, I intended to say, "I'll do the labor free," but I didn't word it that way. So, between that time, I was going out of town. And when you're driving, your mind is calm and the Lord can talk to you. And he started teaching me about business again. He said, if you fix that car, charge her. I'm like, what? Well, Lord, she's struggling right now. He said, if you fix the car, charge her. I said, okay. Then I wanted to know why the Lord took such a position, why it was so important. He said, if you fix her car, she'll look to you and not me. And what it was reverse idolatry. People will look to you instead of God. God, he's a jealous God. He wants people to look to him. He can provide her with whatever she needs. And since she's pregnant, he's going to take care of the child. It's not my responsibility to take care of her. She's not my wife. She was just a member of the church, my sister in the Lord. And it was hard for me to receive that. And he said, don't walk by sight with my people. And so I obeyed the Lord and I started charging. Then one day he said, you don't charge enough. And he gave me a format. And he had to be stern with me because it's not reasonable for you to take on responsibilities that belong to somebody else. It's just, even when your children get grown, you have to allow them to stand on their own two feet. You can't cushion, if you cushion their life too much, they'll look to you and they'll never learn to look to God. Everybody's gonna have to learn to live by their faith or die. Either if they won't learn to live by faith, then they're gonna be in a situation that's not good. It's not your fault, it's their will. Humbleness of mind, humbleness of heart is obedience to God. It's nothing short of it. A humble man is an obedient man. A diligent businessman is humble, is more humble than a bum on the street corner. Now, people confuse it. They say, well, the bum, he can't hurt anybody. He won't do nobody wrong. He's just out there. But he's not taking care of his own business. And that's not what God said. God said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. And he meant it. That's the way you handle love. That's what a humble man would do. A trifling man won't do that. Being trifling is satanic. That's not God's will. A poor person doesn't mean honorable. I'm going to say that again. Poor does not mean honorable. Sometimes it means lazy. Sometimes it means hard-headed. A humble person takes God at his word and obeys him. He takes his responsibility serious. And people don't, different formulas that they the way that they interpret God's word according to how they think. But that's not, the word of God is the word of God, not how people think. Not the opinions of man, they don't count. And people will, when people look at a person that's poor, they feel comfortable talking to them any kind of way. But a rich person, they will treat them differently. That's respect to person. And that's not right either. The word says love everybody. And that works, that's of God. But the world says, be kind to those that can help you the most. And that's not the way God put it. But being humble, a humble person obeys God. They seek to obey God. They want to obey. They want to know him. They're not trying to hide. So that some people are not, they're trying not to learn who God is because they don't want to do things that God would have them do. They don't want to love people. They don't want to serve mankind. They want to do life on their terms. They want to be selfish. They want to be unreachable. They don't want to be the one that's doing the works of God. So they limit themselves by not knowing it. And whatever reason they have, some people are just not interested in being a minister. But there's more to the Lord than ministry. And he can help you serve the ministry in unique ways. And we all need to do our part. But God's love, he loves us for who we are, not for what we do for him. But a humble man wants to serve God. When people harden their heart against the wisdom of God, they're missing out. They're more like Saul. But when we, as we go forward, obeying the Lord, I'm telling you, there's so much more we're going to learn. And it's going to, we'll overcome every situation with flying colors. Everything the enemy works, as he works against us, we'll win. We'll overcome him and we'll be the winner. He'll be the loser. And I like that. It's the mindset of the heart that we've received, that can hinder us, or we can receive God's word and his perspectives and turn our life around. We can cause our lives to be according to what the heart of God is. And the revelation knowledge that we're going to learn, it far surpasses what we know already. And that's the beauty of it. The Lord will take you far beyond what you know right now. And it'll make so much sense. It's even entertaining just to find out about it. But some things you can't learn until you take him at his word and obey him. There's a story behind almost every lesson that I've received from the Lord. I can tell you what was happening and where I obeyed him, and then what he said that made the difference. And I love to stir up all those good memories. But what about today? The challenges that I face today, I have to meet God with the same endeavoring faith. And it's worth it. And I thank him for it. David did it. David would ask the Lord, why did this happen? Or why did that happen? And the Lord would show him, give him wisdom. And sometimes the word of the Lord would come to the prophets and he'd show them things. And it would change everything. He showed them what people were up to. He showed Jeremiah how people were setting traps in his path. Even his own brothers. People of his own hometown. He showed them their heart, how they intended to kill him. And then Jeremiah had wisdom and he avoided their traps. But some things you can't learn unless you take the Lord at his word. Now, in these broadcasts, it's designed to help people that want to grow in life to see what's out there for what it is. The Holy Spirit, my friend, he'll take it from here. He'll show you things just like I'm saying. I'm just making people aware of life as you follow the Holy Spirit. And I'm doing it at his word. See, remember the strategy of God. And the Lord is this way. Some people say, well, I can learn things on my own. Well, the Lord is not wasteful. If he puts something in somebody's heart, and to introduce a thought to the earth, he already gave it to that person. And sometimes there are things that people know. If I want to learn what God said, I have to see that person. You know, Perry Stone is a prophet that I listen to continually. I like him, and so is Jonathan Kahn. And they have information that I never learned. And sometimes it's a confirmation of what I already learned. But they teach things that I want to know about. So I take some of my study time and I listen to their YouTube broadcast. And others too. There are some revelations some ministers have that the Lord didn't particularly deal with me on. Now he dealt with me on the things of about following God, and it's a well-rounded ministry, you know, the ministry God has given me. And I ask a lot of questions, I learn a lot of things, but there are some things I have to get from others, because the Holy Spirit took time to, and introduced it to His people through them. So what I'm saying is, whatever the Lord put on your heart to do, you got to be just as faithful to get it out there and let people know about it under the strategy of the Holy Spirit and the timing of the Holy Spirit. And in order to do that, you have to follow through faithfully with the training of the Holy Spirit. You have to ask questions, receive answers. Ask questions, receive answers, and be obedient. Learn the things that God is saying to you. And he'll put you in a position where you can share it with the right people. And that's important. You can't just share these things with anybody. Because some people, they don't have the passion of God. They have the passion of Satan. And they'll treat the things of God that are holy like Saul treated it. You know, Esau sold his birthright. The birthright was something that he shouldn't have sold. But he didn't love, that represented the anointing of God or the perfect plan of God. And he discounted it. And he didn't find repentance because he couldn't get it back once he sold it for soup. He sold it to Jacob for soup and lost it forever. So the anointing of God that he and the calling of God and the commission of God that he gives us under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we have to treat it holy. We have to treat it as valuable. The information God grants us and graces us to learn, we have to treat it like it's valuable. And sometimes people value other things more, but you can't do that. You have to value what God gives you in order to be faithful. And if you don't value it, you won't be faithful. And you'll let things slip that shouldn't. And you'll have problems that shouldn't be. It's not God's fault and it's not God's plan. But if you value what the Lord is saying and you use enough to use it in your life, acting on it, then you're going to learn more what I'm capable of talking about. Every ministry should be unique in the Lord. It has its own identity, its own strength, its own purpose. And ministers don't prosper the same. Some anointings cause people to be very wealthy, and some don't. Some people have to believe God for every bill they pay. It's not a competition. It's not a race against your brothers and sisters in the Lord. And when you see a need in others, if you bless them, God will bless you for blessing them. See, some of the prosperity should be by love, a portion of it. When you see somebody operating under the anointing, if you say, hey, let me help, and take this, and I thank God for you, the Lord's going to bless you for that. Now, some ministers like to coerce people into giving to their ministry as if they're going to get something. And it's true, you will. God's going to bless you but remember, God loves faith. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to coerce people into giving. I'm just stating this fact because it's true. When you give to any work of God, you'll see the Lord's hand of prosperity on your life. But I didn't say that, so you'll give to me. It's just the way it is. Not just me, but anybody. And all ministries need money. I need it. But I don't mind getting my own hands dirty. On these broadcasts, you may hear me working on cars or doing chores or whatever I'm doing. Because I try to do at least one or two broadcasts, website casts every day at the order of the Holy Spirit. And my life is very busy. And I try to consolidate my time. And this is a privilege to me. And I expect God to do great works with it. I know what God can do with something small. And I learned to appreciate His handiwork. I love Him, and He loves me, and I know it, and He loves His people. The Lord does outstanding things to get His word to those who want it. So if you're receiving this, the Lord's hand was in helping you get to this website broadcast, and I thank God for it. and every man of God and every woman of God that wants to be a blessing, every child, everybody that wants to serve God, do it with all your heart, all your wisdom, all your might. But just keep the Lord first. Stay under His guidance. Operate under His guidance, and you'll hit the mark every time, even without failure. God loves us, for He cares about every portion of our life. And if you study His word for every particular portion of your life, you'll have the desires of God on your life. You'll have the blessings of God on your life. Marriages can be turned around. Where you live can be made better. Everything can flourish as you receive the heart of God in your life, the heart of His will, the unique principles that He's going to share with you. All these things are very important. All of your relationships can be restored as you include the love and the wisdom and the purity, the holiness of God in your life. Now, we're about out of time, but the next time, remember, I love you. God loves you, and Jesus is our Lord. He will continue to bless His people and walk with them, teaching them all that's in the, that they can receive.